Well, hey everyone, what is up? Welcome or welcome back to my channel. My name is Austin. This is Gospel Simplicity, a channel where we're passionate about the beautiful simplicity and transformative power of the gospel. Hey, if you're enjoying these videos and you haven't already, I'd really encourage you to hit subscribe to become a part of this community. If you don't want to miss any future videos, be sure to hit the notification bell as well to stay in the loop. Today, I have a really fun interview for you. I interviewed Father Mark Thibodeau on the Ignatian Prayer of Examine. It's a continuation in our series on prayer, which is something that unites us as Christians. I think it's really lovely to be able to talk about these things. As you know, on this channel, oftentimes we talk about the things that divide us between different Christian traditions, but I also love talking about the things that unite us, and getting to talk about something that can really help all of us, like this prayer, was really fun. And Father Mark, well, he brings a great energy to it. I think you'll really enjoy it. As always, you'll be able to find his book and everything in the description down below. But before we get to that, I want to say, as always, a huge thank you to the people who make these videos possible. First of all, thank you to my patrons, subscribers, and merch buyers who allow this channel to be what it is, especially to my patrons who give monthly. Your generosity not only allows this channel to continue to be sustainable, but allows it to grow into exciting and new things. So if you want to support this channel, you can do so by using the link in the description or going to patreon.com/gospelsimplicity. I also want to thank our sponsor today, Kindred. Kindred is a ministry that exists to help people reclaim sacred time with God in their daily lives. And they do this by creating beautiful Bibles that will help you read the Bible differently. You'll slow down, you'll read more contemplatively, and their Bibles with their full page pictures of nature and the way it's laid out, it will allow you to just interact with the Bible in new and profound ways. I think you'll really enjoy it. I know I have. If you want to check them out, you can go to kindredapostle.com and use the promo code GOSPEL10 for 10% off your order. Well, with all that being said, I hope you guys enjoy the video, and here it is. Jesuit Father Mark E. Thibodeau is originally from Church Point, Louisiana. He holds degrees in psychology and theology from Loyola University, New Orleans, and Weston Jesuit School of Theology in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He is the father of 6 books on prayer, Reimagining the Ignatian Examen, which we'll be talking about today, God's Voice Within, God, I Have Issues, Armchair Mystic, Ascending with Ignatius, and Ignatian Discernment of Spirits, Going Deeper. If you guys want to find those, you'll be able to find them in the links down below. And for 10 years, he served as director of novices for the Jesuits of the UCS province. He is currently the pastor of Holy Name Church, a Jesuit parish in New Orleans, Louisiana. Father Thibodeau, thank you so much for being here today.
I'm delighted to be here.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you here with me today and with the audience eventually, whenever they get to see this. I'm really enjoying this series that I'm in right now, a series on prayer. A lot of the channel, if people have watched it in the past, they know it kind of focuses around the issues that unite and divide us. And I really like to talk about these things that unite us. And I think prayer is a wonderful way we can learn from people, even that we might see certain things differently from. So we're going to be diving in to the Ignatian Prayer of Examine today. But first, you know, people got to hear your bio, but I want to let them know maybe a little more about you. And I'd love to just know, how did you end up as a priest and writing on these topics of prayer?
Yeah, sure. Well, I totally agree with you with what you said about how prayer is definitely one thing that I think really unites us Christians, because if you think about it, especially if you think about things like meditation and contemplation, or even praying with scripture, really, I mean, there's almost no, there's just no divide at all between the different Christian faiths. So I completely agree with you that's a wonderful place for us to go when we want to start talking about, you know, being more closely united with one another. To answer your question, so I grew up in a small town in South Louisiana, and I'm a Cajun background. And if you know Cajuns in Louisiana, they're French Canadians, and they were thrown out of Nova Scotia, Canada, in the late 1700s. And they were thrown out by the British, just like the British were thrown out of Boston. Well, the British threw out the French Canadians out of Nova Scotia. And one of the main reasons why they threw them out was because of their Catholic heritage, and they refused to sign an oath of allegiance to the British crown because they felt like it would be denying their faith. So they were thrown out of Nova Scotia, and it was a very long and terrible journey they went on, but they ended up in Southwest Louisiana. All of that is to say that they're furious Catholics. They're just like extremely, even to this day, they're very devout Catholics. And so I grew up very much just completely surrounded by the Catholic faith. And almost everybody I knew was not just Catholic, but went to church every Sunday. It was kind of it would be a strange thing when I was growing up. Now, sadly, it's not as strange, but when I was growing up, it would have been a strange thing to have know people that didn't go to church. And so it was really just, it was in the water I drank and in the air I breathed, I think. And as a little kid, I think all the boys in my town thought about being a priest, and all of the girls thought about being a religious sister, you know. So, and you know, I can hardly remember a time when I didn't want to be a priest. Even as a little kid, I wanted to be a priest, and I never had really a moment when I didn't want to do it, which is kind of strange, you know. I don't know why that's true, but I'd always been kind of set even since a little kid, you know. Now, I'm a Jesuit priest, and that's a little bit of a different, there are different types of priests, as you probably know, and they're Franciscans, Dominicans, and things like that. And it was in my senior year at my public high school that my history teacher said that I should be a Jesuit. And she said it, I think, because she knew kind of the background of Jesuits in history and the different impacts that the Jesuits have had, particularly in education. But I remember, like, I didn't know any Jesuits, but all of a sudden, in an instant, I just had this knowledge that that's what I wanted to do, even before I knew them. So I called them up. There was a house 11 miles from my house that I'd never gone to visit. I called them up and I said, let me speak to a Jesuit, and the rest is history. So that's kind of my story of how I became a priest.
Wow. What a beautiful story. I love so many parts of that. The idea of, you know, just that you can't really remember a time that you didn't want to be a priest. That's so neat to hear. And it's really interesting to hear kind of some of the background of like Cajun history and, you know, Southwest Louisiana. Is that correct? You said Southwest?
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, when I think Louisiana, I think Bible Belt, and I think, like, you know, Baptist churches and things. But that's really interesting to know that there's such a strong Catholic population there, even if it might be not quite what it was when you were growing up. Thanks for sharing that.
Right. Yeah. So, like, Louisianians often talk about three different Louisianas. There's the North Louisiana, which is very much like Mississippi or Alabama, or the rest of the Bible Belt, you know. That's North Louisiana. And then Southwest is the area where the Cajuns are. And then on the east side is New Orleans and all of the craziness that's New Orleans.
So that's really interesting. That's good to know. I've already learned something, and I think we're in store for a lot more today. Like I said, we're going to be talking about the Ignatian Prayer of Examen. But before we get specifically to what it is, I want to kind of hit on this idea that I think so many people experience, which is one of the reasons I was excited to do this series on prayer, is that I think so many people have this sense of dissatisfaction with their prayer life. They know that prayer is important. And whether it's because they've been told it a bunch of times, or they see it in scripture, or they just know, like, hey, I should be praying more. But yet they're not satisfied with their prayer life. Maybe they've tried, maybe they've said, like, I'm going to make this commitment to pray more, and they lasted for a week or something. But then they get bored, or it gets old, and they're just not feeling like it's making an impact on them. And so I'd love for you to speak into, like, why do you think that is, that we have this dissatisfaction? And then maybe, you know, how can the Ignatian Prayer of Examen serve to start helping people with that, even if it's not going to, you know, be a one-stop shop or a cure-all for that?
Right, right. I love that question, Austin, because I found exactly the same thing. People tell me all the time of how they're dissatisfied with their prayer. And oftentimes there's a lot of kind of guilt associated with it. Like they feel guilty for not being as faithful to prayer as they think they should be. It's a great question. I mean, here's my own sort of speculation, but I think that at least a lot of Catholics anyway have this notion of what prayer should be like, and it kind of messes them up in a way. You know, we grow up learning all about the saints and the mystics, and so we have this idea that prayer is going to be about, you know, God coming in some sort of extraordinary way, you know, sort of out of body experience or something like that. And I think that's what messes us up, because I think everybody's kind of struck with how ordinary their prayer is. And because they don't kind of get what they think are messages from God, they kind of quickly run out of gas. I think, you know, a lot of times they'll start to pray, at least especially when they talk about meditation and contemplation, and they'll start to think, well, you know, maybe God's telling me X, Y, or Z, but then they quickly say, well, no, that must just be my imagination. And my argument is that, it's definitely both, you know, that God is going to use your imagination, that God's going to speak to you through your imagination. So I think that's one of the reasons why God made it. So I think they have this idea that a saint who gets a message from God, it's not through their thoughts or through their emotions or through their imagination. It's through some external source that comes in some sort of magical way, and they never experience that, so they think they kind of give up on it. But I actually think God comes in the most ordinary ways, and we imagine what God is to say, and oftentimes we're right. Oftentimes that is in fact what God's trying to tell us. So I think that's a big part of it. I also think that people sadly think that it should be a labor. When I really think if prayer is going well, you should be enjoying yourself. I mean, if prayer is intimate time with God in an intimate relationship, like a friendship, well, you know, do you kind of dread being with your friend? Do you dread intimate time with the persons that you're closest to? And yet we often dread going to prayer because we seem to kind of be trying to kind of make something happen in the prayer. So I think if we could just relax a bit and just kind of try to enjoy ourselves and ask ourselves, well, what does work? What things do we do inside of our prayer that works, even if it's not what you think is the right thing to do or what you were told? If it's the way that you connect, then it works, you know. Cajuns love a dark, strong, dark coffee, you know. So I always begin my meditation with a cup of coffee. And my first few minutes of my meditation is having a cup of coffee with the Lord. So I'm enjoying myself every day. And most people can't say that, which makes me sad. You know, I think if we just kind of relaxed and gave ourselves permission to enjoy ourselves, I think we'd get a lot farther. If I could say one more thing about it, I think that most people are oftentimes filled with distractions in their prayer, and that's very discouraging for them. When I personally think it's perfectly okay to have distractions, that's just part of it, and we don't have to worry about it at all. Most of my prayer time has got lots and lots and lots of distractions, and it just doesn't bother me. So I think the difference between I, who am extremely happy and satisfied with my prayer life, the difference between me and someone who's not, is not that I'm doing anything extraordinary. It's just that I'm at peace with all of the chaos and the distraction, and also with the fact that God is not going to speak to me in an extraordinary way, but in a very ordinary way. So that's kind of my answer generally. And I can kind of go into examine, if you like, at this point.
That's really helpful. I think there's so many people that are going to have a weight kind of taken off their shoulders because they've had this expectation. They've set this bar for their prayer life that if it's not this mystical encounter where, you know, God just like shows up, you know, in a their own burning bush moment or something, then they're somehow not doing it right. And we don't like to do things that we don't think we're good at. You know, I can't speak for everyone, but I think generally speaking, when we think, man, I'm bad at this, it's not going to encourage us to want to do it. Or if we think like, hey, I have to do it this one way and I can't enjoy it. Like you said, it has to be a labor. Well, how often, I don't know about the people listening, but I don't make a habit of often doing things I really don't like and I don't think I'm getting anything out of. And so I think just taking that shift will be really, really helpful for people. And I thank you for kind of inviting people to be able to make that shift personally and be able to say, hey, you know, I'm distracted, but, you know, God can work with this and that, you know, I'm not somehow like failing at prayer. And I love how you kind of slice through the Kantian divide of like, it needs to be this supernatural thing. Like your imagination is something God can work through as well.
Yeah.
I think that was all really, really helpful.
Could I add one more thing, Austin? And this is almost the opposite of what I've been saying, prayer is an enjoyable time with your intimate friend who is God. That's all true. Prayer is also a discipline. And so the reason why we're not successful in prayer is the same reason why we haven't lost those 5 pounds after Christmas and why we didn't go to the gym this week, you know. So prayer is a discipline, and disciplines are tough on us humans. We can be for whatever reason a little bit lazy, you know, and we just enjoy sitting and watching TV instead, you know. So there's that. Both things are true. One is that we want to try to find a way to enjoy our prayer so that we can look forward to going to it every day, but also just acknowledge that, hey, it's a discipline, and whatever you do to do your other disciplines, you want to do that with prayer as well. So,
yeah, I think that's a great point and a good kind of appendix to that or counterpoint to it in a way of, you know, and I think it actually goes together. Like the people that, you know, get in shape because they go running every day, eventually they learn to love running, even though at first it was difficult, but then they begin to see, oh, this is good for me. And I'm making improvement. And so I think there's probably some overlap there, but you know, I want to say when I first came across this prayer of examine that we're going to be talking about today, it was one of those things that, you know, you kind of, as you're going through your spiritual life, there's different disciplines that you pick up. And sometimes you try something, you're like, you know, this has worked for other people, but it's not working for me. But the prayer of examine was something I came across and really enjoyed. And it just seemed to make a lot of sense and kind of had this thought of, you know, that we usually have whenever we come across something exciting, we're like, where's this been all my life? And then you know, often realize, especially with the prayer of examine, actually it's been around much longer than my short 22 year life. It's got quite the history. So as we begin to talk about this prayer of examine, could we maybe start from just letting people know, like, where does this come from? We've called it the Ignatian prayer. I can think of at least two people with the name Ignatius, major figures in church history. So where does this come from? Where has it been their whole life?
Right. Okay, great. Very first thing, most Catholics anyway know about the examination of conscience. And so a lot of times if you talk about the examine, when Jesuits, for example, will talk about the examine, they'll think examination of conscience, and that's not what this is. It's a little bit related, but it's not the same thing. The Ignatian examine is something different. So the examination of conscience, real quick, is when you're preparing to go to the sacrament of reconciliation, to confession, and you spend a bit of time thinking, okay, what are the ways that I've sinned recently, so that you can have that conversation with the priest in the midst of the sacrament. So that's what the examination of conscience is. The Ignatian examine, it comes from St. Ignatius of Loyola, who was born in 1491, and he died in 1556. And he wrote a book called The Spiritual Exercises. And the point of that is it's basically a retreat manual for what in his mind was a 30-day silent retreat. And there are variations of that kind of retreat, but we call that the spiritual exercises. And within that book of the spiritual exercises, he introduces this idea of the examine. As far as I know, I mean, that word examine, you know, you talk about examine your conscience or examine your, so that word has been around, and yet the word examine, E-X-A-M-E-N, as opposed to if I'm examining a test or something, E-X-A-M-E-N, as far as I know, it was sort of coined by St. Ignatius Loyola. And it's I think it's sort of his idea, his invention, if you will. What he presented in the spiritual exercises for the examine, he recommended you do this twice a day. And it's supposed to be a very short prayer. He says about a quarter of an hour. So we usually recommend 10 to 15 minutes. And in the examine, it has, you could say, two sets of three elements to it. It has the elements of past, present, and future. So you're looking at the very recent past. So let's say you're doing an examine at lunchtime. So you're looking at the morning leading up to lunchtime that day. And then you're looking at the present. Where am I right now at this moment spiritually? And then you're looking at the future, like what's going to go on this afternoon. So that's past, present, and future. The other sort of set of three is thanksgiving, asking for forgiveness, repentance, and then discernment about the future. So those three kind of go hand in hand with the first three. So those are the different elements of the examine. His idea, the whole vision of it is that unlike meditation or contemplation, when you're kind of, for lack of a better word, trying to kind of go deep into a prayer period, and usually, you know, you're praying a meditation contemplation for, you know, at the very least, maybe 20 minutes, but some people will go, you know, an hour or so or longer. That's not what this is. This is meant to be a sort of on-the-spot prayer period. It's like meditation, but it's meditation right embedded inside your day. Sometimes I call it real-time meditation. Like you're meditating right inside what's going on. So if you could imagine, you know, a news report where a reporter goes and he observes things, and then he goes back to the newsroom and then makes the report and video records it. Well, that's not what this is. This is the reporter who's out in the battlefield, you know, and you're hearing the bullets whiz by him as things are going on. That's what the examine is meant to be. So in a way, I would say it's a very unique prayer in that way, that you don't really tear yourself away from the activity of the day. You stay right where you are, right in the middle of it, and you kind of dig in for just 10 or 15 minutes and then jump right back in again. So that's kind of the basics of what the Ignatian examine is. And again, let's say 1538, something like that, is when the book started to be published and well known. So the Ignatian examine has been around for about 500 years.
Wow, it's tried and true in that way. Yeah. And, you know, I really like a lot about this. One thing I loved the analogy you gave between the types of reporters. And I can imagine a lot of the people watching this who, you know, I can think of specific people who watch this that are maybe like single moms, or they've got seven kids and they homeschool or something, or, you know, they're busy at work and they've just got these fast paced lifestyles. And they hear about these things of, you know, people who pray for 2 hours straight and have this, and they're like, that sounds great. but it's not happening anytime soon. Yeah. And again, that kind of starts this whole like guilt, shame, like, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not doing prayer right. But here you kind of have that, you know, meditation in the moment, that kind of quick access to it, which I think for some people, hopefully it's kind of causing them to sit up and go, huh, maybe this is something that I could actually do. It's accessible to me in this way. I'd be curious, have you heard that feedback in the past with it?
Absolutely. That's exactly what is the genius of the exam, and is that it's not, nothing is really required of you. You don't have to go into these great depths of it. You can keep it really light and simple. It's meant to be kept light and simple. And once you kind of get, you can use Ignatius's traditional steps, but you don't have to. But whatever steps you get, you kind of memorize them in your head, and that way you don't need a book. You don't need anything. You can just, like, for example, Jesuits are oftentimes in schools, and I spent 9 years in our high school. So it's typical for us to be proctoring the cafeteria at lunchtime, and I'm doing my exam in my head as I'm kind of just watching over the kids while they're eating lunch, you know. So you can see how it's, you don't have to go to a chapel, you don't have to go in this dark, quiet place or this deep reflective place or be in a kind of a yoga position. It's really, or you can be driving. That's the other thing. You can be driving from one place to another. I know a lot of business people who are eating their lunch at their desk and they're doing the exam while they're eating their lunch at their desk. So it really is. It's a very user-friendly, in your back pocket kind of prayer period, you know?
I think that's a great utility of this prayer. Well, hey everyone, we will get right back to the interview, but first I wanted to thank another sponsor today, and that is Faithful Counseling. I am so excited to be partnering with Faithful Counseling. They are an organization that exists to help you get the help that you need. You know, one of the first YouTube videos I ever made was titled, "You Can Have Jesus and a Therapist Too." Today, so many people are struggling with their mental health, and the last thing we need to do is create a stigma around it that keeps people from getting the help they need. And I want to do my part to help you all reach out and find the resources that can be helpful for you. And I think Faithful Counseling could be one of those things. Faithful Counseling is a group of Christian counselors, and no matter where you are in the Christian tradition, they have counselors from across the spectrum of denominations, and if that's important to you, they can try to link you up with someone that matches your background. But their counselors, they are all licensed counselors with over 3,000 hours of experience. You can connect with them from any country in the world, and you can connect with them in 4 different ways. You can do video sessions, phone calls, live chat, and messaging. These are people that are here to help you, and I really think that you could benefit from them. If you are struggling, you do not need to be doing this alone, and I really encourage you to check them out. You can do so by going to faithfulcounseling.com/gospelsimplicity. If you do that, if you go to faithfulcounseling.com/gospelsimplicity, not only will you get 10% off your first month, but you can be matched with a counselor in less than 24 hours, which is absolutely incredible. You'll be getting counseling from a Christian perspective, and you'll be on the path to doing the work and getting the help that you need. So I'd really encourage you to check them out, faithfulcounseling.com/gospelsimplicity. Also, I want to let you know that this is not a crisis line. If you are currently experiencing suicidal thoughts or ideation, please reach out to a crisis line. You can find one at www.crisistextline.org. You do not want to go through this alone, and please reach out if you are experiencing those things. Well, once again, I hope that if this is something that would be helpful for you, that you will check that out. You can find the link in my description. I want to do my part, as I said, to end the stigma. I hope that you will as well. Let's help people get the help they need to be on the path towards healing and hope. So go to faithfulcounseling.com/gospelsimplicity. You know, there's a potential maybe objection that you answer, and I think it's the introduction to your book, which again will be linked in the description. And that's, you know, the nature of the Ignatian Prayer of Examine, of kind of this reflection on, you know, where you've been and how you were going through things, can cause some people to say, like, especially today, as, you know, mindfulness and meditation really are growing industries, if you will. They are industries, I suppose. And you've got, you know, mindfulness apps, and everyone's trying to give you like your 15-minute morning meditation. How does something like this, like, I imagine there's points of continuity, but what are maybe some points of discontinuity between something like the Ignatian Prayer of Examen and just a kind of morning mindfulness routine?
Right. Yeah. I'm glad you asked that. I think that actually it is somewhat of a danger because it looks a lot like those kind of secular mindfulness techniques, there are tons of them out there, right? I mean, if you Google, you'll find 1,000 different mindfulness ways of doing it, and they're not bad. I'm not opposed to them in the least bit, and I would like to think that God works through even those. But this is prayer in the Christian sense of the word. So we're talking about a relationship with God. And so so I think what makes this different is it's a conversation with God. The whole thing is a conversation with God. Now, I'm glad you brought it up, though, because it kind of has that look and feel to it. It can become, if we're not careful, just a sort of, if you will, a sort of secular self-examination, you know. And we Americans, we're so achievement-oriented, and we're very good at evaluations and having action plans and checking off the action plans. And so when we're not careful, the examen can become that. It can become just a sort of, just kind of a an evaluation of my productivity of the day, and even spiritual productivity. But no, that's not what this is. It's really a conversation with God. It's asking God to speak with you and to listen to you, but also that you can listen to God about the nitty gritty of your day. So I think that's the actual crux of the difference between this and mindfulness, that it's all about conversation with God.
I think that's really helpful and will help people distinguish these things. And I'm glad you brought up, I think we see these things similarly, not that we have to, of course. I often host people of many different perspectives, but I appreciate that, you know, you can say there's some utility in those things, that God can work through those. They're not bad to be maybe a little more self-aware and understand how you're feeling throughout the day or whatever, but that this is something more. There's more substance here, and that, you know, it's not just a closed loop. It's not just, you know, you talking to yourself about yourself, but it's a conversation with God. I think that's a great way of putting that. And I'm glad you you addressed that. I appreciate you talking about that. I do want to talk a little more, you know, building on that, specifically about your book. People will notice that it's reimagining the Ignatian examen. And I don't think, I've read the book, I didn't get the impression that you think the Ignatian examen is broken, that we need to fix it. But I know some people, especially in more traditional circles, might be somewhat allergic to titles like that have the idea of reimagining. Like, was there something wrong with it in the first place? So you're not just giving a history of the Ignatian examen, though those probably exist, and you gave us some of that in the interview today. And it's not just a how-to guide for, you know, the traditional examen. You could probably read Ignatius' book for that if you really wanted to. It's a conscious reimagination of it and kind of going through different approaches to it. So first, I'd just like to ask, what sparked that? And maybe how can we put people at ease who might be wondering, who's this guy? Like, is he telling Ignatius he's wrong? What's up with that? So give us maybe a little history of that, and then we'll go into that reimagination.
Absolutely, yeah. I'll tell you, a lot of it has to do with my own sort of spiritual journey and my own relationship with the examen itself. Just to kind of, maybe I'll start by kind of telling you what the sort of traditional steps of St. Ignatius are. St. Ignatius recommended these five steps, and these are my own words, but it's very much aligned with Ignatius's traditional five-step examen. So I'm going to just tick through the five steps, and I'm going to use a mnemonic that I like, using the letter R. So the five steps are relish, request, review, repent, and resolve. So relish. First, Ignatius says that we begin this prayer by thinking about the things that we are thankful for. So we relish the gifts that God has given us. So if this is my lunchtime exam and I'm looking back over my morning and saying, where was God? What were God's little manifestations throughout my morning this morning? And then every time I find one, I give thanks. I say, thank you, God, for this, you know. So that's relish. Then request. Ignatius says, after giving thanks, you want to ask God to send the Holy Spirit. So give a sort of special request that the Holy Spirit might come upon you and guide you in this examine. The reason why he does it at this exact moment in the examine, I think, is because the next thing you're going to be doing is reviewing and repenting, particularly looking at kind of the harder moments of your day, like maybe where things might not have gone so well, maybe even you've sinned. And we were talking just a moment ago, this is a prayer and it's about a conversation with God. So if I'm not careful, this will be a moment for me to beat myself up, or a moment for me to sort of be my own judge of my spiritual life. And so he asks you, call upon the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can lead you in this next part. So it's relish and then request of the Holy Spirit. Then review, you kind of go through chronologically from the very beginning, from the time you woke up, and then what did you do as you were getting ready, the people that you live with at breakfast time, that sort of thing, and then what did you do at work when you got to work, that sort of thing. So you go hour by hour through your morning, and that's review. That's a third step. And then the fourth is repent. So in any of those places where you find some place that you weren't all that God was asking you to be, then you ask the Lord for forgiveness, or you ask the Lord for healing, or for both. So it's relish, request, review, repent. And then the fifth one, unfortunately, the fifth one gets lopped off a lot of times because the 10 minutes is up and you haven't gotten to the fifth one, which is terrible because Ignatius really wants you to get to that fifth one. That's kind of the point of it. The fifth one is resolve. And in other words, we make a resolution for the afternoon. Like, how do you want to be? What grace do you want to pray for? What kind of person you want to present to the world based on this 10 minutes you spent with the Lord? And so resolve is number five. So that's the traditional five steps of the examine. And I think they're wonderful. I'm a huge fan of them. I like how you said it. It's not broken. It's great, just like Ignatius presents it. And I very often do the traditional examine. I'm a huge fan, and I'm 100% on board with Ignatian examine. Why did I come up with this book that sort of reimagines it? Well, to speak very personally, it's part of our commitment as Jesuits, because St. Ignatius of Loyola founded the Jesuits. So he's our leader. And Ignatius was very strong. He felt very strongly that Jesuits should pray this every single day. And I did not, I'm sorry to say, years where I just was not faithful to the examine. It kind of fallen off. And for me, the reason why I think this particular prayer, type of prayer, fell off for me is because it had kind of become rote and routine for me. Those five steps, I was just sort of checking off, you know, just checking the boxes. And that, just like we said earlier, that if you're not having fun, if you're not enjoying yourself, you just, over time, is just going to wear away. And it wasn't really a prayer anymore. It was just kind of going through the routine. And so I sort of had a sort of reconversion to the exam, and I felt called again to recommit myself to it many years ago. And I decided if I was going to be faithful to it, I needed to find a way to make it enjoyable for me. Otherwise, I just knew I wouldn't be faithful to it. So this was my own personal attempt to find a way that I can stay fresh and that keep it fresh for myself. And so I came up with a bunch of different approaches. So there's the five steps of Ignatius. Well, is there just a different set of questions I can ask that get at the exact same thing, that look at my past, my present, and my future, that have me giving thanksgiving, asking for forgiveness, and asking for help for the future? So have all of those elements, but just ask slightly different questions. And I sort of, over time, kept brainstorming and writing them down. And before you know it, I had, I think it's 34 of them. And I really liked them all. And that was many, many years ago now. And to this day, I still do it. I still do these varieties of examines. And every day, I'm kind of curious to see which one pops up. I personally just go down the line and do the next one. I do number 8 today at noon, and then tonight I might do number 9, tomorrow I'll do number 10, and go forth that way. And so it just keeps it fresh. It just keeps it fresh to kind of just approach it just slightly different every single day. So just to give you an example of that, of a reimagining or a different sort of set of questions, I gave you the 5 from St. Ignatius. So the most basic comes from a Jesuit named Matthew Link. This is his examen. He has just three. And he says, here it is. It's thank you for, forgive me for, help me with. Thank you for, forgive me for, help me with. That's how he does his examen every day. And I just love that. I think that's beautiful. It gets at the same 5 things that Ignatius was getting at, but it's even more simple and easy to remember. You don't have to remember, okay, where am I? And you don't even need a mnemonic because it's just so simple, you know? So that's one example of a sort of variation. Another example would be what I call draining and life-giving. So let's say it's my noontime examine. I look at my morning and I ask myself, what was the most draining moment of my morning? What was the most draining moment? And I just have a conversation with God about it. Why was it draining? Why did I find that draining? And the Lord and I just talk about that draining moment. And then I ask myself, what was the most life-giving moment of my morning? And we have a conversation about that. Why was it life-giving? And how could I make it even more lively or elongate that experience of that life-giving moment? And then I look to the afternoon, like this coming afternoon. What might be the most draining moment of my afternoon? Well, I've got that meeting that I'm always kind of bored in. Every Wednesday we have this meeting. And so this afternoon, I'm going to have that kind of boring meeting. And so I talked to God about how can I stay engaged in the meeting and not disengage, not be distracted. And what might be the most life-giving moment? Well, I'm really looking forward to having supper with my Jesuit brothers. And I just have a conversation with God about that. So draining and life-giving, that's just another variety. It's another one of these 34 examines that we do. Another way to do it, just as another 2 sets of questions. Looking back on my morning, where was I most present? What was I really present to? Like, or I can ask, who was I most present to? Like, when this person came into my office, I was very present. I really listened. I wasn't distracted, and I was able to really be the priest that I want to be for the people of God. But with this person, I was very present. And where was I most absent? So in that boring meeting I was just talking about, my head was just in 1,000 different places. And when I was called upon, I didn't really have a good answer. I tried to fake it. It didn't go well. So I can see, you know, that's where I was absent. So where was I present? Where was I absent? You can see that it's all getting at the same thing. And if I'd prayed the Ignatian 5 steps, the traditional steps, I would have gone to those same places, chances are. But asking a slightly different question keeps it fresh for me. I don't feel like I'm just checking the boxes. So it's just a way that I came up with it to kind of bring a bit of freshness to my examen. And then I started sharing with other people, and other people really liked it. So I said, well, Maybe I can, put it in a book and help people that way. And it's really exploded. I've written several books. I thought this one was going to be kind of the least popular book. I think it's the most popular. It's the one that's sold the most. And it's also the one that's most international. It's like at least 5 different languages around the world. So it's really kind of just exploded. So this is clearly touching a nerve. I think the Examen really turns people on when they hear about it. And then the varieties of Examens helps them stay faithful to it once it's kind of become a little bit rote and routine.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that. There's so much there that people are going to benefit from. I love that this came from your personal experience. I think, the best spiritual advice comes from that personal experience, not just a reflection on this would be a good thing. I think that's a powerful thing just for people to think about in general. And I appreciate your vulnerability and saying, yeah, it came actually from a place of, I wasn't doing great with this prayer of Examen. I think that's so often when we see growth happen, and that's when it happened for you. I think there's also a lot to reflect on there with the idea of the power of habit. Like, clearly, St. Ignatius, he had this vision for this prayer that, hey, like, the Jesuits should do it, and it's really helpful, and you should be doing it as a routine. But when routines become empty of their substance, sometimes we need to start asking questions. How can, is this really helpful for me if I'm just kind of checking the box or going through the motions? And so I think your willingness to say, okay, here's what this is getting at, and here's how I can be faithful to it, but also like get something out of it so it doesn't just become empty. I think that could say a lot in the spiritual life in general. And, I'd actually just love to get your thoughts on that. What made you feel free to say, like, hey, it's more important that I get at the core of this prayer than stick, to the letter, to the T of like the exact form? Has that influenced maybe like your counseling to people in general, or? Because I think there's a lot of overlap in many areas of the spiritual life there. Clearly, there's things that we should be doing continually. But how can we keep from just allowing it to become only a ritual? Maybe in prayer specifically, but I'd be remiss not to ask you that question as you talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's kind of an occupational hazard for Catholics that we just love rules. we just love rules, and we love rituals. And I do love rituals. I think sometimes, and this is everybody, of course, but I think Catholics in particular kind of struggle with this sometimes, that our gift is our curse. So our gift is that we have our wonderful routines and our wonderful rituals that are so rich and they're so old. But I think at times we get a little bit obsessed with them, and we begin to, the rules exist to help us to get to God, but the rules can become the God itself. That's precisely the trap of the Pharisees, I think, that the rules became the God. I think that can happen to us at times. Or to put it another way, the purpose of the rules is to help us to get to God, but we turn the purpose of the rules into, if I did it right, then I'm good with God, and if I did it wrong, then I'm not good with God. And that's not the purpose of the rule at all. And so I think it's a matter of stepping back and asking ourselves, well, what's the whole point? And the whole point is to be in relationship with God. And so if I do the 5 Ignatian steps very obediently to St. Ignatius Loyola and do the 5 exactly correct, but I haven't actually talked to God, well then I haven't accomplished anything. I've lost the whole purpose of what prayer is about in the first place.
Yeah, that's so true. And I appreciate you kind of saying, like, yeah, this is something we can struggle with at times as Catholics. And I think we, as Protestants and my Orthodox friends listening to this as well, we'll be able to relate to that as well. And I think also on the flip side, sometimes as Protestants, I've noticed as I've been investigating church history and been so blessed to have conversations like these, realizing that for whatever reason, for a variety of reasons, you know, evangelicals, especially, I grew up in kind of like a mega church context, became allergic to any type of tradition or ritual. And then realizing like, oh, these things have been passed down because they're good and there's so much value in so many of these things. And so that's why I think in these conversations too, we can learn so much from one another. And I hope that people are doing this as they're listening, no matter what background they come from, realizing like, I have something to learn here, whether this is foreign to me, familiar, or anything in between. So thank you so much for this. This has been an absolute pleasure. You walked through a couple of the ways people can do this. You gave some examples. I really liked those about being present, about what's draining, what's life-giving. I think already that's going to be something that people can take away and start using right away. And if they thought, man, I really like those, like you mentioned, there's 34 others in the book, and I'm not surprised that has been so popular. It's such a user-friendly book, if that's a way you can describe a book. It's just, they're going to be able to read it and be able to put it into practice. And I imagine that's been the case for so many people. Congratulations, by the way, on the success of it.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And just for you to know, there is an app out there that does the same thing. It's basically the content of the book in app form. So if you were go to your app store and type in reimagining the Ignatian exam and reimagining the exam, and it'll pop right up. And you'll find some other exams, for what it's worth. Other mostly Jesuits have put other types of exams in app form as well. And the app would like guide you through. You can scroll through step by step in a given exam.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'll be checking that out personally, and I'll be sure to put a link to that in the description as well. As we close out here, I would love for you to just give some final advice, because I think there's going to be a lot of people that listen to this interview and they hear your passion for it and they hear the different ways that they can approach this and go, yeah, like I can, this is a prayer that I can do. I may not be like one of those saintly prayer warriors, but I can do this. Like, I'm going to start this, and maybe they're going to start right after watching this video. That would be amazing. But what advice would you give them as they start this journey? I mean, you've been praying the examined for years now, and you've gone through a journey with it of, you know, I imagine initially there's probably some excitement with it, something new, and then it getting old and then reimagining it. What tips would you give someone if they're starting maybe today and they're going to go through this process of praying the exam and want to incorporate in their life? What advice would you give them on their journey?
Right. Well, I would say, you know, just to give a metaphor for it, you know, if a couple really loves each other, a married couple really loves each other, sometimes, not always, but some of these couples who just love being connected with one another, at lunchtime, they'll check in with each other. You know, they'll say, hey, how'd your morning go? And what do you got going this afternoon? That's just, they just call each other on the phone and check in with each other. This is kind of exactly that with God. We're just sort of checking in the midday because we want to stay connected with God. I would say the advice, I guess if you're new to it, I would stick a little bit closer actually to the step-by-step, whether it's Ignatius's steps or mine, because the steps will kind of guide you along the way. That way you won't have to come up with it yourself. And then as you go further into it and you get more and more comfortable with it, then give yourself permission to kind of play with it a little bit more. You know, I did not come up with these 34 versions. What I did was I gathered them all, and people, all kind of different people, started giving me different ones. And some of them were way out there. But I wouldn't have come up with all of these different ones. But it's because other people have given themselves permission to sort of say, oh, okay, so I understand the concept of what the exam is. How would I do it? How would I ask the question? If I can give one more example, because it's just such a delightful one, the youngest guy, the youngest novice that I had when I was a director of a seminary, he came up to me one day after I presented the exam, and a while later, he says, hey, you know, I have my own exam. And I said, oh, really, what is it? He says, I asked myself one question. I said, what, really, what is this? Now, remember, this guy is 18 years old, maybe 19 years old when he said this. He said, here's the question I asked myself. Am I ready to die today? And he said, whatever the answer to that question is, that's what we talk about. That's what God and I talk about, which is like shocking, and to hear it from an 18-year-old or 19-year-old. But he starts with that question, and then he looks at his day and say, what happened this morning that either makes me ready to die today or makes me like I'm not done yet? And I have that conversation with God. So you see, that young man gave himself permission to just let the prayer kind of show itself what it wanted to be for him in his own life. And this whole new thing arose that I would have never thought of myself. So that's would be my advice for people getting started out. Go ahead and stick with the rules, stick with the step-by-step in the beginning so that you can kind of get the routine down. And like we said earlier in this session, it's a discipline. So try to do the discipline of it too. Try to stay faithful. Let yourself play with it a little bit. Take it out and play with it a little bit, and give yourself permission to kind of shake it up a little bit and make it your own over time.
That's wonderful. I think there's going to be many people that benefit from this, and I thank you so much for your time today, Father Mark. I want to just allow you to close us out by letting people know where they can find you. Like I said, I'll be putting links to your books and anything else you mention in this section in the description. But if people want to know more about you or what you're up to, how can they do that?
Okay, great. Thank you. This won't be a surprise to you, but to find my books, if you go to Amazon and you type in my name, there's an author page, and it has all the books all laid out there, just so that you can see what it looks like. For those of you who are watching, this is the book here, Ignatian Examine. But also, you could go to our church. I'm the pastor of a church in New Orleans called Holy Name of Jesus. Holy Name of Jesus Church in New Orleans. I think if you Googled it, it would come right up. But the web address is hnjchurch.org. If you went there, you'd learn all about our church, and you could click on Thibodeau's Works, and it'll show you all of the videos. And I do have a bunch of videos and a bunch of I have a podcast called Catholic Homilies and things like that. So there's a lot of different media that you can tap into when you go there. So hnjchurch.org, which I know you said you'd share the link, so they can just click on down below.
Wonderful. Well, that will be the gift that will keep on giving as they can find more of your work there. Once again, thank you so much for being here. And as always, thanks to you all watching this, whenever it is that you're watching this. I know neither of us take your time lightly, and I hope you enjoyed it, especially if you took this whole time to watch it. As always, I want to say, till next time, be on the lookout for more videos. And most importantly, go out and love God and love others, because truly, above all else, that will change the world.